We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin, daf Samach Vav. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing the halacha of if someone is Mekadesh an Isha with one aid, with one witness. And that was related to the discussion of our Mishnah, which was introduced. Then, related to that, the Gemara said 3 halachas from Abaya regarding different areas of halacha, regarding the nemanis, the trustworthiness, the belief of one witness, based upon the halachic principle of shtika kaida. And that's why our Gemara is going to continue and say, why was it necessary for Abaye to say, seemingly, all three the same idea, where a person is silent, and somebody says that you did this, or this happened to your thing, and Abaye says at three different places that the halach is that the eid echad, the one witness, is going to be believed, because the person that he's telling it to is not contradicting him, is silent. Why was it necessary to say all three? So the Gemara says, utzricha, it was necessary to say by all these 3 halachas, which we're going to explain, that his silence is considered as a hoida, as an admission of what the person is telling him, although generally you need to have 2 witnesses to verify something, especially if the person would contradict what the person is telling him. But here where he's silent, his silence is considered admission, and therefore the halachic reality will be as the one witness is telling him. So as the Gemara explains, the yash min hach kamaisam, had Abaye only said the first of his 3 halachas that he said, which was when one witness says that you ate chalev, you ate forbidden fats, thus you're required to bring a karma chatas. Now, ilav de kimle benavshe de oven. Now, if we had only said it regarding that case, where his silence is considered like he's agreeing, and therefore he has to bring the carbon, the reason is because if he really wouldn't know that what the one witness is telling him, what this one person is saying is true, that he really did eat forbidden fats, he would never bring a carbon that he's not obligated to bring, because that's an isser, a transgression of bringing unconsecrated animal and slaughtering it and doing the avodah with it in the courtyard. So that's regarding the first halacha. That's why, okay, we would say over there that his shtik is considered like a hoidah. Regarding the second case of a buyer, where somebody comes over to a guy and says, you know what, those taharas of yours, those things that are pure, they actually became tame. And he's silent. Says the Gemara, Meimar Amrinon Hai Deshasek, we could have interpreted to say that his silence is not considered an admission. It's the Savar Chazi Lebimei Tumas, because he's saying, I don't care what, if I'm not going to even bother disagreeing with you. Because he thinks he can use those things which became Tamei, which even though they didn't, he can use it when he is Tamei. And hence, maybe it's not really an admission, it's not a Hoidah, and maybe it would be permitted to those who are Tar. That's what I have to say, that no, even over there, his Shtiki is considered a Hoidah. Now, continuing on to the third one, the Gemara says, V'yesh minaha, had we only said the second halach of Abaya, mishum de komavsid le b'mei tarase, because ultimately, it is like an admission if you're not disagreeing with the guy, because ultimately there is a loss that you can't eat it in the days that you tar, you can only eat it in the days that you're tummy. So, therefore, the fact that you're not disagreeing is considered a hoida. Avashayri nirva, regarding the third halach of Abaya, when somebody comes over and says, you know, your ox, it was sodomized, which makes it possible to be used as a carbon. And he was silent. Says the Gemara, Mei Ma'amar, Kol HaShvarm Lav L'Gabim Mizbeachem. We could say that he was saying that, okay, fine, look, not all oxen are brought as carbonis on the Mizbeach. And therefore, he doesn't bother to contradict the guy who's telling him that. But maybe it's just because he's not interested. Okay, fine, so it's not a carbon, fine. Even though he knows maybe it's not really the reality. And therefore, maybe his silence should not be taken as a hoidah. And therefore, if it really comes down to it, it could be brought as a carbon. Tricha, that's why it was necessary for Abaye to say that even over there, his shtika is considered as a harda in all these 3 cases. And therefore, again, that's what it means, the nemanis of the eid echad, as actually we'll see shortly, a machlekes between Abaye and Rabbah, how to qualify this halacha of eid echad, where again, the way we're describing it based on Rashi's interpretation is because not so much as the belief of the eid echad, but it's the fact that he's not contradicting, that shtika is considered a harda. And Hodos Badin is Kimei Edom Dami, he's believed regarding his things that is a true reality. Now the Gemara continues and says, Ibailahud. Now the following question, continuing on this theme of Eid Echad. Ishtei Zintza Be'Eid Echad. If let's say one person comes over to him and says, want you to know, your wife was Mizana. She had an adulterous relationship. V'shaisik, and the guy, the husband, hears this and he's silent. Question is, Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say that the Eid Echad, together with his shtika, will make this husband forbidden to his wife now? Because it's like he's admitting and he's agreeing to what the guy told him, that his wife was Mizana, which then makes her forbidden to him. So it's a machlokes. I'm Abaye Neman. Abaye says he is believed, the Eid Echad, again, based on the fact that he was silent. And Rava Amein and them, and Rava says, no, he's not believed. And he says, because Havadava Shabbat Erva, regarding for intimate relationships, is considered something related to halachas of arayis. That's halacha that we know dava from mammon, that something related to arayis regarding a married woman that can't be less than two witnesses, and therefore since there's only one witness, he can't be believed. Now Tosfos, however, asks, and this is what's important, fundamental to this machlokes and by Rava, as we were just explaining before. Tosfos asks, okay, we understand dava shabbat erva needs two people. But if he's silent, as we said in the previous Gemara's discussion, shtika should be like haidah. So why shouldn't she be forbidden on him? Can't a man make his wife forbidden on him like what's called a shavya nafshi chaticha di yisura? You can make anything forbidden on you if you think that that's forbidden. So therefore, if he's silent, and silence is usually interpreted as a haidah, where he's not disagreeing with this person, why shouldn't that itself make, like Abaye had said, make her forbidden to him? So that basically explains, unlike Abaye, which again, as we explained, Rava doesn't hold that the reason why, when he's silent, it makes the nemanis, it's not because of shtika kaida, as we explained Abaye. Yeah, Abaye goes on that principle, and therefore he says here too, shtika will be like kaida and make his wife forbidden to him. Rather, he holds, by the virtue of a person being silent, when the eight echad tells him something, that's what's called raglaim ledavar. That means to say there's indicating factors that the witness is believed. Because why are you not contradicting? Oh, it must be he's telling the truth. So that's why that would be the halachas by Eid Echad, based on the shtika. Now, since over here, the Isser is going to be coming only not from the husband, rather from the Eid, as we said, that's how Rava explained, understands the halachic implications of a shtika. So that's what he says. As much as you're saying that it strengthens the nemanis of the Eid Echad, that can't work by Dava Shabbat Erva. Yes, maybe it'll work by those halachas of Abaye, bringing karmachatas and all these other things because of the shtika kaida. And maybe Rav would agree to that. But it's not because like the understanding of how Abaye learns it, which is because, oh, shtika kaida. And therefore, it's like he's admitting it and he's like making it usher himself, which, yeah, that could work for one's wife too, but Rav doesn't learn like that. It doesn't say the shtika is the nemanis of the husband through his shtika. It's the nemanis of the eight echad. So again, in those other cases, so the eight echads believe now, even though he's just one eight, together with the silence of the husband. But by Dava Shabbat Erva, regarding making a wife forbidden on him, doesn't make a difference how neman is this eight echad. It requires shtei eidim, and that's why he's not going to be believed, even with the husband's silence, to make him forbidden on his wife. So that's it, machlokes. Now they both try attempts to prove their opinions. Amabaye says, Menam Eni Lofam, where do I know this, that the one eight would be believed regarding making a wife forbidden on the husband? So he brings the following incident. The Husami, there was a certain blind person that would prepare and would say over his Tanoik teachings in front of Shmuel. Now, Yom Echad, one day he was late and he wasn't coming, this blind person, by the designated time that he usually would come and say over his braces in front of Shmuel. So Shadr, so Shmuel sent Shlicha Abasra, he sent a Shlich, a messenger, after him that he should tell him to come quickly. He's supposed to come at this time. Now, Ad Azul Shlich B'chad Orcha, the Gemara tells us that while the Shlich was going one road to that get to that blind man's house, Asi'iyu B'chad, the blind man was coming on a different road towards Shmuel. So they missed each other. Now, Kiyasa Shlich Amu, when the Shlich came back from this guy's house, who he missed, he said, Ishtei Zinza, his wife was Mezana. I mean, the blind man was already out of the house. He saw his wife being Mezana with another man. So Asla Kamid Demar Shmuel. So this blind man came in front of Shmuel. So Amalei, Shmuel said to this blind man, look, Imehemelach, if this shliach of mine is trustworthy to you, then Zil Afka, then go ahead and get rid of this wife, because since you're not contradicting her, so that you're believing him, and therefore you know that your wife was Mezana. And if it's not trustworthy for you, then don't get rid of her. That's what the story was. Says Abaye, my love isn't what this was talking about. What does it mean if he's believed to you? If he's believed to you, this one person, my shliach, like any other aid echad, in other words, that you know that he's not from those people that are pasul aidus de lav gazlanahu, that he's not a thief. A thief is not a trustworthy aid. He's not believed to say testimony. But if you know this guy is a trustworthy guy, which is an eid echad, then you should get rid of your wife. So says Abaye, you see from this story that an Eidechel is Neman regarding this nus of a wife to make her forbidden on her husband. Now the Gemara tells of Barava. Barava held no. What Shmuel was telling to this blind man was Imehemen Loch Kibetrei. When it says that if you trust him, I mean not like a regular one person, if you trust him like two people, then Zilafka, then go get rid of her, because then it's like having two witnesses. But if not, then don't get rid of it. It's not enough that because he's trustworthy in general, which would be an Eidechel. No, if you believe him like two people, that's how strong you realize what he's saying, then get rid of her. But if not, not because it requires two Eidim and not one Eid. So again, Abaye continues trying to bring a raya. Abaye says, from where do I know this, that the Eidechel is Neman regarding the Isser of a woman on her husband? Says the Tanya, like Linda Brysa. There was an incident with King Yanai, who was from the Kahanim, from the family of the Chashmonaim, where the Chashmonaim were Kahanim, and they also then took over the monarchy. They became the Melachim, the kings. So Yanai Melech was from that dynasty. Shahalach l'Kuchelis, he went to this country, this place Kuchelis, Sheba Midmo, which is in the desert. V'kivisham shishim krochem, and he conquered over there 60 cities. Now, b'chazarasa, he semech simcha gedolah. On his way back, he was very, very happy. And he called to all the sages of the Jewish people, all the wise people. And he said to them, our fathers ate this maluchim, this type of herb, this vegetable called kakuli, at the time when they were busy working on the building of the Beis HaMikdash by the second Beis HaMikdash, which when they had come from the diaspora, from the Golis of Bavel, they were very poor. And they had used all their money, all their resources towards the work of the Beis HaMikdash, and all they had were these vegetables to eat. So they said, "Af anu noichem aluchem zechel abisayne." We're also going to eat these types of vegetables to remember the poverty of our fathers and to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He made us successful and that we're wealthy now. So as a way of remembering our humble beginnings, let's eat those stuff. V'helu maluchem al shulchan shelzav v'achlu. So they brought all these types of vegetables on the tables of gold and they ate. V'hayisham echad. There was an individual over there. There was an ishletz, a man, a cynic, lev rao, blial, bad heart, a man who doesn't have the yoke of heaven on him. V'alozer ben pa'ira shemay. His name was Elozer ben pa'ira. Now, v'yimra Elozer ben pa'ira liyana melech. He said to Yana melech, King Yanai, libam shel perusha malacha. The heart of the perushim, of the Pharisees, a reference to those people that are adherent to all the traditions of the Jewish people, they hate you. They're not happy with your success. So Yana said to him, "Uma'asa, and what should I do? How can I verify that this is true? That and to prove this point that they really don't like me and they're not happy with my success?" So he told them, "Hakim lehem b'tzitz shebein enecha. Make them get up with the tzitz between your eyes. In other words, you're a kohen, you put on the tzitz on your forehead, and then they're gonna have to stand up because it has the shame of Hashem on it. And when there's a shame Hashem, like a sefer Torah, people have to stand up." And then they're going to reveal their true intent regarding you to protest regarding your fact of being the Kohen Gadol. Now, as Rashi points out, although it wasn't at the time of that he's doing the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so how's he putting on the tzitz? But that's as the Gemara said on Daf Nun Dalam Aleph, that Big De Kohuna, you're permitted to have Anah from them. There wasn't any problem of Me'ili, even not during the times of Avoda. So that's what he did. Hikim lehem betzitz shebein einav. He made them get up because he put on the tzitz on his forehead. Now, Hayisham Zakan Echad, there was one elderly, there was one sage over there. Yehuda ben Gedidya Shmai. His name was Yehuda ben Gedidya. Now, V'yayme Yehuda ben Gedidya le Yana HaMelech. He said to Yana HaMelech, Yana HaMelech, King Yana. Rav loch kesem malchetz. It's enough for you that you have the crown of royalty. Hanach kesem kohuna lezar shel Aaron. Leave the crown of kohuna for the children of Aaron. Now, the reason why they protested regarding his taking the crown of kohuna was Shahayu, because the Prushim were Oimrim, they said regarding Yana HaMelech that Imay Nishbis B'Modiim, his mother was taken in captivity in Modiim, which is a city from the household of Chashmonaim. Now, a Shvuya, a woman taken in captivity, is forbidden to marry a Kohen. Now, then later, after she was taken in captivity, his mother, she married his father, and turns out that then seemingly Yanai, the son, should be a Chal. And a Chal is not allowed to do that Vaida as a Kohen. Now, however, actually, they inspected and they checked it out and they found that it wasn't true. It didn't turn out to be any halachic problem. But because of those rumors, that's why this Yehuda ben Gedidya mentioned this thing about, you know, leave it alone, you know, stay a melech, but don't get involved in the kahuna. Now, v'ibadlu chach miYisrael bezam. Now, the king got very upset at what his comment that he said, and he chased out the sages of the Jewish people with anger. V'yem Elazar ben Pe'ur liyana melech. Now, Elazar went for the juggler now, and he said to yana melech, king yana. Hedit should be Yisrael kachodinai. A regular common person to the Jewish people, that's his judgment. In other words, he has to tolerate his degrading, the treatment that people do to him. But you, Melech v'kayin gadol, you're a king and a high priest. Kachav dincha, that's your judgment? That's, you're not going to take revenge for the comment that they made to you? So he said to Moaz, he says, what should I do? So he said back to him, he says, if you can listen to my advice, roimsim, trample on them, in other words, kill them. So Yana HaMelech said back, but what's going to be with Torah? Maybe it's going to be forgotten. So he said, oh, don't worry, it's rolled up and it's put into a corner and in it has all the mitzvahs in it. It's not going to be forgotten. Whoever wants to learn it could come and learn it. Don't worry about the Torah. Now, Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, he says, Miyad Nizrugu by Apikorsis. He says, at that moment, there was a spark of Apikorsis, of heresy that came to Yanai. Because the Havilei Lameme should have responded, Teinach Torah Shabiksab. That's very good for the written Torah. Torah Shabapem Ma'ai, what's going to be with Torah Shabapem? That's all in the minds of the Jewish people and in the Jewish consciousness as a tradition from Moshe Mi'Sinai. You're going to kill out all the sages, that is going to be lost. But in spite of that, Me'yad Vatutzitz Harali De'alazah Ben Pe'ira, at that moment, the wickedness spread out and manifested because of this Elazar ben Pe'ira, v'yahargu kol chach miYisrael. And Yana HaMelech killed out all the sages of the Jewish people. V'hoya ha'olam mishtaimim, and the world was desolate. At shebo Shimon ben Shetach v'hichzer es ha'ter liyeshlo. Until Shimon ben Shetach came along, and he returned the Torah to its old glory. Now, because he was the one that was survived, because he was the brother-in-law. He was Yana's wife's brother, who she hid him, and that's why he was the one that survived. And then he finally was able to, after the wrath had calmed down, was able to restore the Torah to the world. So that's that story. Now, on that, the Gemara explains that Heichidami, when it said over there that V'yavukar Shadov V'leinimtza, that the reason why they had protests was because his mother was taken in captivity, but then actually it was found out to be unfounded, that it sounds like that there was a Cheskas Kashrus, there was a presumptive state of validity that was for Yana HaMelech. So the question is, what was this story talking about? What was the original, like, thing that she was taking captivity, and then was verified that it wasn't a problem. If it was that because there were two witnesses that said that she was taken in captivity, which invalidates her, thus making Yana a chalal. But then and then what was later found out to be? Because two witnesses later came along and said, no, she wasn't taken in captivity. But of that, the question is, my chazad the samchanahani, well, why would you see fit to rely on the second pair of witnesses? Samchanahani, rely on the first pair of witnesses that said that she was taken into captivity. So how could you say v'loy matzu and it was found out not to be true? How do you know? At least it's a suffix. Now, Rashi says that, and if you're going to say that, but yes, the reason why it was found to be unfounded is because what's called ukitre l'bahaditre, you put the two against the two, they cancel each other out, and then the woman remains with her previous chazaka, which is that she's a ksheira. And that Rashi says that's not true because you're right. If the mother in that situation would have come in front of us in the courts, we would have permitted her because the two witnesses would cancel itself out and then she would have a cheskes kashrus and be able to marry this man to have the child Yana HaMelech. But what we're discussing here is the son. He is a suffik chal because depending if his mother was taken in captivity or not, would make him a chal or not. Now he never had a cheskes kashrus, a presumptive state of validity because from the moment that he was born, there was already witnesses that were testifying that he was apostle. And there were those who were saying that, because those saying that she was taking captivity and those not. So therefore, since there was no cheskes kashrus, the Gemara said you can't say it's talking about a case of two against two, because then actually, why would it say that it was unfounded? It would still be suspect that he's not a kosher kain. So rather, Abaye concludes his point. Elo be'ed echad, rather must be talking about that there was one witness who testified that she was taken in captivity. Now, the reason why it was found out to be unfounded was because two witnesses then came and rejected the and said that she was never taken in captivity. And we believe two witnesses over one witness. But one thing we see, says Abaye, is the time of the Komach Shele Beitre. It's only because two witnesses contradicted this one witness. Halav Hachi Mehemun, but it sounds like if not for the two against the one would be believed that the mother was taken in captivity. So you see, regarding making a woman forbidden in marriage to her husband could be verified and believed even based on one witness's testimony. Now, Varava, Rav would tell you that no, Lo'ilam Trei Trei. Actually, it was talking about that there was two against two. Now, then the question is, if it was two against two, then why do we say that it was unfounded, that because we're believing the second pair of witnesses, but why not believe the first pair of witnesses? On that Rava says, like he says somewhere else, that Be'edi Hazama, that it's talking about that the second pair of witnesses are not just saying the opposite fact, rather they're actually doing Hazama on the first pair of witnesses. Be'edi Hazama, here also it's talking about Be'edi Hazama, meaning the second pair of witnesses, they do Hazama to the first pair, which they say, they don't just say that the first pair is saying that, oh, she was taken captivity, second pair says that she wasn't. Because you're right, then we wouldn't believe one over the other. It told me that the second pair of witnesses say, how can you say that you saw her being taken in captivity at that time, in that place, at that day, when you were with us? We're there, the Torah specifically believes the second pair of witnesses that are doing Hazama to the first pair, as the Pasuk in Devarim says, which the Gemara Makos Daf Hei Manav explains, it's Tumah when the second pair of witnesses say, Imanu Hayisim, that's why we believe in the second pair over the first pair. But Rabbi says, no, Rai to Yabai, it's not talking about Eid Echad. The reason why we believe the second pair who contradicted the first pair is because they're doing Hazama. Or V'Iba Yisema says, Rabbi, or another approach you could say, is Kedir Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amr Bitzlik, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Shifcha hechnisu tachtau. They actually, what they did was, this woman, Yana's mother, was taken into captivity, but they actually were able to slip her out of captivity and insert a shifcha in place of her. So really, there was never a moment, in other words, the first pair of witnesses who said she was taken in captivity were correct. But the thing is, the second pair is not just contradicting the first pair, they're actually qualifying the statement, and therefore, that's why we believe the second pair, because saying, you're right, she was taking captivity, but right away they were able to make a switch and get a shifcha instead of Yana's mother, and that's why it's not contradicted from the first pair of witnesses, they're just clarifying it, and that's why we believe them, which was that she was really never at any point in time secluded with the captors to say that maybe they defiled her to make her someone that's forbidden to kahuna. But again, those are the two approaches that Rava has, where it's not a right to Abai, it's not talking about an Eid Echad, to say that an Eid Echad is believed, making a woman forbidden on her husband. Now, Omar Rava. Now, Rava says, as we continue our Talmud Beis, that Menoa Min Allah, from where do I know that a one witness is not believed by a Dvar Erva to make a woman forbidden to her husband, even if the husband is not contradicting him? So he says, Ditnan Nagulut Nabraisa. Omar Reb Shimon says, Maisa bin Magur, there was an incident with the pool of water, Shaldiskim, which Rashi says is the name of a person or the name of a place, that was B'Yavna in Yavna. Shahisoi med this Becheskes Shlema, that the presumption of it was always that it was a kosher mikvah, that it had 40 saw, it was complete. Now, Umadudu v'nimtzis chaser, one day they measured it, and they found that it was actually missing, it didn't have the requisite share of a mikvah. So, kol tara shenasu al gabah, regarding all the purifications that they had previously done through this mikvah, Rib Tarfin said that they were tar, they were good. Because he says that we would say that right now it became lacking. But at the time when the person or the vessels were immersed in over there, maybe at that point it was still whole, and therefore he says that it's going to be tahar. But Rabbi Kiva Metame, Kiva said, until the last point, or on a previous time that we know that it was tahar, that it was complete, says, but those that in the previous time, that he says, since we don't know when it became lacking, so it could be that there was no tefillah, and therefore those things are going to be considered tamei. That was the machlekes Rabbi Tarfin and Rabbi Kiva. Now, Rabbi Tarfin said to Rabbi Kiva, look, mikveh zeh becheskes shalom hu oimed. We know, up until now that we see that it's lacking, it always had a cheskes, the original presumption of it was that the established criterion was that it was complete, that it was whole. That was the last time we checked, it was whole. Misafik atabol lachasre. Now, out of doubt, you're coming to say that maybe it's lacking. Al tachasre and the misafik, says Rabbi Tavid Rabbi Kiva, don't make it lacking out of doubt. We always go, when you have a doubt, the chazaka qualifies it and says it always was in that presumptive state, up until we know otherwise, which is only right now, we'll say all the things that up until now were in the kosher mikvah, and therefore they're going to be tar. Now, Amr Bekivi responded, he says, no, you're talking about the mikvah, but Adam Zeh, this person, or this kli that was immersed in the mikvah, Becheskes Tamehu Oimid, his presumptive state before the mikvah was that he was Tameh. Now, Misafik at the Balatarai, now we know that there's definitely now a suffix regarding this whole period of the mikvah from when it was last checked up until now, if it was lacking at that point in the time and not, that's a suffix. Out of doubt, you want to purify him? Atatarayanam is suffix. You cannot purify him from suffix. Because Rabbi Kiva is basing on the chazaka of the person. his cheskis is tamei. The suffik can't come ahead now and remove him from the chazaka of tamei, and therefore we consider them tamei. So Amr Tarfani tries a different approach. It says, "Mashal la'imid u'makav agabim mizbeach." It says this can be comparable to a person, a kohen, who's standing and doing the avodah on the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash. The noidishu ben gerusha ben chalutza, that he finds out that he's actually a chalal. He finds out that he's the son of a woman that was a divorcee, married to his father, a chalutza, which is forbidden. Where the halacha is, the avodah that he had done up until now is kashera, which as Gemara will later on bring the source for this. So you see, although that what up until now was problematic, but since we only found out about it right now, although the Rishonim discussed exactly as Taisa does, it seems to be a little bit different. But that's the point Rav Tarfon is illustrating, where even though up until now, possibly it wasn't good, but we're finding out about it right now. So the chazaka that he had up until now was okay, even if we find that maybe it's not, it's a little bit shady, but since we're only finding about it right now, now we'll discontinue him and invalidate him. But what was done before is going to be kasha, so too, all the tefillahs that we did up until now should be considered tar too. On that, on Rabbi Kiva, he gives a different mashal. He says, and he'll show that it's not good. He says, mashal la'imid amakav agam mizbeach. He says, I'll give you the same setting like you gave. This could be an analogy of a person, a kohen, that's doing the avodah on the mizbeach. But he finds out not that he's a chal, he finds out that he's a blemished person. Something which is one of the types of blemishes that says a kohen is not valid to do the avodah. Where it turns out that the avodah that he had done up until now are pesula, are invalid, even if he did it by mistake, as Gemara will later on learn. So therefore he says, same thing over here, where this person, when you find out there's something intrinsically wrong up until now, that is going to invalidate what was done up until now. Now, Amr B'Tafin, Rabbi Tafin said to Rabbi Kiva, look, you want to compare the case we're discussing over here regarding this mikvah and all the things that were immersed in it up until now, that you want to compare it to a Baal Mum, a coin that's blemished, which obviously what was done up until now is not good. And I'm comparing it to a coin that finds out that he was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which everything he did up until now is okay. And therefore, I want to say the same thing for the mikvah. So Rabbi Tafin, Nira L'Midam, so let's see which one is comparable to. If it's comparable to the case that I gave of Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, then let's compare it to that, which of course would make whatever was done up until now kosher, and then would make all the vessels that were immersed in this mikvah up until now tahar, like I said. Now, if we end up finding out that it's more comparable to a blemished kohen, then let's compare it to Baal Mum, but let's just figure that out. Now that we understand our ground that we're taking here in this discussion, let's just find out what is more comparable to, and then we'll have our answer. So Hischel Rebbe Kiva Lotun. So Rebbe Kiva began to discuss and discourse regarding the comparisons. He said, look, mikvah psula b'yachad. Mikvah is something that can be invalidated with an individual. In other words, if one person comes along and he says, I measured the mikvah and I found that doesn't have the requisite shear, he's believed. As the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtas Gittin, what's called Eidech Hanem Bisurin. Regarding an area of prohibitory law, if something is kosher, if this mikveh is kosher, an individual is believed. Now, Ubal Mum Psula B'yachad. So too, regarding a kohen being considered a Baal Mum, one person is also believed. In other words, if a person, one individual comes along and says that this kohen is a Baal Mum, he's also believed to invalidate this kohen. As the Gemara later on will explain what's the reason for that. So he says, so you see that the halacha of the mikveh that we're discussing is comparable to the Baal Mum that I'm comparing it to, because both of those can be verified through one person. And therefore we can't bring proof from the case that you're comparing it to a chal, because shepsula b'shnayim. There a kohen can only be considered a chal if there are two witnesses who say that. That's one reason why he says my comparison is better. Dava acher, another source, is mikveh psula b'gufa. Mikvah, if it turns out that it doesn't have the 40 saw, it's an intrinsic invalidation. It's not a mikvah. Baal Mum psula b'gufah. So too, a blemish in a kohen is also something intrinsic to the kohen, where his nose is sunken in, or whatever it is, something that's intrinsic to him. Val yechir ben gerusha ben chalutza. And if you can't prove what you're comparing it to a ben gerusha ben chalutza, shepsula me'acherim, that his invalidation is not intrinsic, it's extrinsic. It's because of his mother, who she married his father as a grusha, which makes him a chal. So therefore, Amalei Rav Tarfon said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, kala poish mimcha kaparish melechaim. Whoever separates himself from you, to learn from you, it's like separating himself from life. Because he said, wow, you really, it's amazing how you just did that, and it's true, like you compared it to Baal Mum, and therefore, obviously, it would be whatever was done up until now, tamei, not tahar, because again, it's more comparable to the Baal Mum, who whatever he did up until now is going to be possible. That's the Braisa. Now, Rava concludes his proof. Hai Baal Mum shabsula b'yachad. This that Rabbi Kiva compared, where he was comparing the halacha of the mikvah to invalidate it through one person, Eidach and then Bisurin, and also regarding a kohen being told that he's a Baal Mum, which also, he was saying, could be invalidated with one aid, and therefore they're comparable, and that's why the halachas are like that. And that asks Rav Heichadami, what would the case be talking about that one person is believed to say this kohen has a blemish? If the kohen is denying, say, that's not true, I don't have that disqualifying factor in my body to what you're saying. Would one aid be believed? We know that an aid is not believed when an individual is machish and denies him. Rather, says Rava, must be talking about when he's silent. So there, as we said on the Man Aleph, there are going to be cases where if an aid is telling him something and he's not denying it, oh, so then either shtika kaido, or that it reinforces the nemanis of the aid echad, okay, then we could understand that that would be the case of that he would believe to say the kain is a balmum. Now, if that's the case of the Bamum, so the Kavasega ben Gurusha ben Chalutza, so then you can make the parallel regarding the other case they were discussing, because they were wondering, do you compare it to ben Gurusha ben Chalutza or to a Bamum? So then that would mean the same thing also regarding the case when someone tells a Kayan, you're a Chal, your mother was a Gurusha who married to your father a Kayan, must be Tomat the Shasig, that it's also Tomat that he was quiet, he was silent. Now, Ugatani, and we learned, Mikvah psul b'yachad, that Rabbi Kiva was telling him, look, mikvah is a psul through an individual. Ubamum psul b'yachad, and a bamum regarding a coin being invalidated that he's blemished, could also be invalidated through an individual. And said Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Tafra, v'alichich ben gurusha ben chalutza, shepsul b'shnaim. So therefore you can't prove it, from your case you're trying to compare it to ben gurusha ben chalutza, where it has to be invalidated only through two people. Says Rava, what do you see from this? You see, regarding halachas of arayas are forbidden relationships, meaning regarding his mother, who is forbidden as a grusha, to marry his father, a kayin, we see to make this son a chal required two witnesses, even if he's silent. You see that even if he's silent with one witness, would not have made him a chal, would not have made the halachas of arayas. So says Rav, you see, not like Abaya, you see that it requires, davish be'ev requires shnaim, even when the guy is silent. Now, Mabaya says no. Actually, the case is talking about, by the case of Balmum, and so to the parallel to Ben Grusha Mechalutza, is talking about when the kohen actually is denying, he's saying it's not true, I'm not blemished. Now, with the Kamer, my Mammon, and now that is that you're going to say, then why is the Eidach believed? That was why the Rava quickly assumed that the case of Balmum, and therefore he made the parallel to Ben Grusha Mechalutza, was talking about that he's silent, because or else why would you believe one against one? This one witness against the kohen himself who is denying that blemish. And that says, Abaya, it's not true. It's talking about even when he's makish, because you're right, if he was silent, we would believe the Eid Echad by the case of Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutza, even by Rais. So then, why is he believed if he's denying it? So, the Amale, it's because that one witness, this one person, tells the kohen, if you're really not a Balmum, then Shalach, take off your clothing and Achve, and show everybody, and then we'll see if you have this blemish or not. Now, Morba says, Abaye v'hain diktani. That's why it says in the Braisa, where Rabbi Kiva was telling him, mikvah b'sule b'gufay, on the second feature, why he was comparing it again to Balmum and not to Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutza, he says, mikvah is an intrinsic, it's something invalid in the mikvah itself. U'balmum b'sule b'gufay, so to the blemish is something in the person himself. In other words, what did that mean to say is that we can verify the facts. In other words, just like by a mikvah, we can go ahead and measure it. We'll see that it's lacking. So too, take off your clothing. We'll see if you have the blemish or not. That's what he meant by the second point. And therefore, whereas by the case of Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutza, where that's through other people, we can't just, the facts are not in front of us because your mother is wherever she is. In other words, we'd have to go through all the history. But here, you're in front of us. That is why he says that even when the coin was being machish, the Eid Echad, we're believing the Eid Echad to say that it's about Mum. Because very simply, because Efshar Livruri, we could verify the facts, and therefore we don't go based on his denying of the Eid Echad. And therefore we're going to believe the Eid Echad until he goes ahead and shows us that he's not a Balmum. And therefore again, that's why Abaye says no Raya to Rava, because actually the case of the Ben Gurusha simile in the parallel is also talking about that he's being Makish. And therefore you need to have two witnesses. But if he was silent, then actually even with one aid, even though it's a Davish of Erva, an Eid Echad with the Shtika of the person would be believed. Now, once we introduce the Braisa, the Gemara asks clarifications of this Braisa. Uben Gerusha ben Chalutza da Boidasa Ksherim Minolam, meaning towards the beginning of the Braisa, it was said by Reb Tarfon, where he wanted to compare the halacha of the tyrus that were done in this Safag Mikvah during this period where we don't know if it was Chas or not. He wanted to compare it to Ben Gerusha ben Chalutza, where you see that even though what was done in the past wasn't so great, and because he was a Chal, and which Chal is not supposed to do that Vaida, still we'll say what was done is good. So he wanted to say the same thing is over here. And that the Gemara asks, Manolam, where do we know that from? That although he's a Chal and he's not allowed to do that Vaida, what was done is done and it's a valid Avaida. So Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuli says, the Amakra, because the Pasuk says in the Midbar, that it should be for him, for Aaron and his children afterwards, a bris kunas oilam, a covenant, Pinchas, the whole family, of a bris of a kunas oilam. Now, what does that mean to say, loyal zara acharav, is for all his children, bein zera kosher, bein zera pasul, whether kosher children or non-kosher children, meaning, even if his child is a chalul, which is an invalid kain. Now, as Rashi points out, obviously, it's not talking about initially, because a chalal is called a chalal for a reason, because it's a lashon of chil, of desecrated, he loses his sanctity of a kain. When it's saying over here, it should be for him and his children afterwards, it's saying after the fact, if he didn't know and it finds out later that it was a ben gerusha mechalutza, then it's going to be a valid after the fact. Avu d'Shmuel Amar Mahalcha, he brings a different source, pasuk in Devarim that says, Baruch Hashem Cheloi, Shem Shabless, which a little translation is his strength, ufol yod of tirtze, and the acts of his hands should be willing, but the way it's interpreted over here is from the word chela is afila chulin sheboy, even the chulin, the chalalin of the shevet Levi, because that's what the pasuk is talking about over there. His poil yadayim should be tirtza, should be accepted. So you see that even a chal who does the avoda, that it's going to be after the fact valid. Gani Amar Hacha, he brings a third source in Devarim, says uvasel a koyin asheyib yamahim, that you should come to the koyin that will be in those days, and he'll do the things that you need from the kahuna. Now the question is, if chisal al daitach, would you entertain to say shadam hoylich eitz l'koyin shlohay b'yomah? Boy, you should go to a koyin that's not in your days. What did the pasuk coming to say? Ella, rather, says Rabbi Yanai, it's a reference to zeh kasher, to a koyin that was assumed to be kasher, and then you find out v'neschal that really he was a chal, and that's what it's saying, that what was there is going to be okay, even though it's not ideal, because again a chal that does avoda, a ben gerusha ben chalutza, will be valid after the fact. So that clarifies that halacha. Now the Gemara asks, "Bal mum da avodasa psula minolan," whereas the contrast was, and that was the positions that Reb Tarfon was taking versus Reb Akiva. How do we know that if a blemish kain, if after the fact that if he did the avodah by mistake, that it's going to be pasul? Because obviously, if it's done deliberately, as the pasuk says in Yikra Chav Aleph, that it says "Ach lapareches lo yavoy v'lo yichales mikdashi," it says clearly that a bal mum cannot do the avodah. Rather, what we're discussing over here is that, let's say he did the avodah without knowing that he was a bal mum. How do we know that it's not going to be kosher after the fact from the same pasuk that we just brought, which was v'heishe lo lazar acharav, which we said for all his children, which we include even the chal? So why don't we include bal mum there too, that if he didn't know about it and after the fact, maybe the avoda should be kosher, just like by a chal? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuli says, because the Amakra, the pasuk says in Bemidbar, l'chein emar, and therefore say to him, and this is what we said before on that pasuk, v'heishe lo lazar acharav, it's saying, it says before that, which this was says to Pinchas, behold, that I have given him my covenant of peace, which is interpreted not as shalom, but kishu shalim, when he is whole, v'lo kishu chaser, and not when he's lacking. So therefore, although yes, then afterwards the pasuk says that this will be for him and all his children, even a zera pasul, but the prerequisite which says in the pasukim before that is that it has to be all, at least that he's shalim. But a balmum will not even have this validating factor after the fact of even a zera pasul. Now that the Gemara asked, but v'hashalim ksev, it says peace, not shalim. So Rav Nachman says vav d'shalim ketiyahi. The vav in that word shalim is broken, which comes to connote this idea of that even if the word vav, the letter vav, wasn't there, shalim has to be that he's whole. A balmum will not have this after the fact validity of the zera pasul, where again by chal it will work, but by balmum, his avoda retroactive is going to be possible. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again regarding the halachas of kedushin. Says the Mishnah, "Kol mokem sheyesh kedushin ve'in avera." Anytime that there is kedushin, there is engagement, is halachic kedushin, and there's no sin. In other words, it's a regular kedushin that takes effect, and there's no sin in the marriage because the Torah doesn't forbid this woman on demand. So havlad hoylach achar zachar. So the child has the paternity after his father. Now ve'ezazu. What's a case like this? So zukahenis levi of Israel. This is a woman that's either from a father of kohen levi Israel. Shenasu l'kohen levi Israel. That gets married to a man that's a kohen levi or Israel. So for example, let's say a levi marries a kohenis or Israelis. The son is going to be a levi based on his father. So to a kohen that marries a levi or Israelis, the son's going to be a kohen. Or a Yisrael that marries a Kohenis or Levia, the child's going to be Yisrael, as the Pasuk says, L'mishpachis and L'veis avaisam, we base the child and the Jewish people on the paternity of the father. Now, continues the Mishnah, but B'chal Mokim Sheish Kedushin V'yeshavera, anytime that there is Kedushin is typhus, it will take effect, but there is a sin, Havlad Hoylech Achar Apogim. Then the child goes after the more deficient of the two parents, whichever one is the more deficient. Now, the Ezezu, what's a case like this? Zu'aman l'kohen gadol. There's a widow who's married to a kohen gadol, where kedushin is typhus, because the Tana of our Mishnah holds kedushin is typhus b'chiv alav, and it's not a chiv karas, it's just a negative prohibition. But there's sin. Or let's say grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hedyit, a divorcee or a woman that had chalitza dantar, who's forbidden to marry kohen hedyit, but kedushin is typhus. Or mamzeris in the scene l'Yisrael, an illegitimate woman from, as we'll see shortly, what makes a mamzer. But if a mamzeris or an asina from the people of the Givonim married a regular Jewish man, or the other way around, a bas Yisrael, a regular Jewish woman that's married l'mamzer or l'nasin, where again, if there is a birth from those who are possible to marry to kahuna, like a malakah and godlan, grusha v'chalitza l'kain hedyid, the child's going to be possible. So too, when a mamzeris gets married to Yisrael, the son's going to be a mamzer, or the other way around. If a mamzer marries a Yisraelis, again the son is going to be a mamzer. Again, it takes on the more deficient of the two. Whichever one is a mamzer, either the man or the woman, the child is going to be a mamzer. So too, regarding a daughter from an asina to Yisrael, or a nasin to a kosher woman, the child is going to be a nasin. Now, moreover, the Mishnah continues, v'chol mi she'ein lo alav kedushin. Now, any time where the woman that he's getting married to doesn't have halachic kedushin taking effect, but if she would get married to other people, she would be able to have kedushin with them. So then havlad mamzer. Then the child is going to actually be a mamzer, which the Gemara is going to explain this halacha. The Eiz is that what's a case like this, which means to say that she doesn't have kedushin with him, but she has kedushin with other men in the Jewish people, and therefore when she marries him, which halachically it's not even marriage, the child is going to be a mamzer. Zehabal achas mikol arayah shebatara. This is a case of any man that has bia, cohabitation with any woman that's considered an erev of him. In other words, that he has a chiv of karis. If he has relations with this woman, if he, quote, gets married to her, which again, halachically, there's no kedushin being typhus, the child is going to be a mamzer, an illegitimate child. Now, v'chol mi she'ein lo, lo yolov, v'lo yolachem kedushin, and any time that this woman that he's getting married to, who doesn't have kedushin with him and wouldn't have kedushin with any other Jewish man, then havlat kemaisa, then the child's like the mother. The Ezezeh, what's a case like this? What woman cannot have kedushin with any Jewish man, not just this one? Zevlad Shifcha is a reference to a child of a maidservant. So in other words, the child is an Evet. And when the master, because he takes after his mother, who is a Shifcha, then when the master frees this son, who's the Evet, actually he'll be a Kasher, he'll be better off than the Mamzer, and he'll be permitted to marry into Israelis, because he's a regular full-fledged Jew. He was a servant. A servant has no invalidating factors when he gets freed. He's like a regular Ben Yisrael, like a Yer, in contrast to a Mamzer that's forbidden to marry into the Kol. And so too, a child of, regarding Venachris, by a non-Jewish woman, who the child of a non-Jewish woman is also a non-Jew. Hence, if he converts, he'll be a Ger Kosher, and he won't be a Mamzer. So actually, in a way, it's better off than a Jew, than a woman who is an erva, who is forbidden to this man, but permitted to all other men, like let's say his sister or some type of erva, where the child's going to be a mamzer and he can't do anything, he'll be stuck, can't marry into the kehillah of the Jewish people. Here, where it's a non-Jewish woman or a maidservant, where then she has no kedushin with any Jewish man, so then the child takes after the mother. Then, although he's not Jewish, in full-fledged way, and Eved has some mitzvahs, but then actually if he converts, he'll actually be better off, he'll be a very regular Jewish man, and he can marry any Jewish woman.